I would invite you to take your Bibles or a Bible near you and turn to Luke chapter 7. In a few Bibles, page 897. We will read verses 29 to 35. Luke 7, 29 to 35. And all the people who heard this, including the tax collectors, acknowledged the justice of God, because they had been baptized with John's baptism. But by refusing to be baptized by him, the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves. To what then will I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Nevertheless, wisdom is vindicated by all her children." You know, there's something poignant and touching about watching children, especially children when they're out playing. It often brings a smile and fond memories of days long gone by, at least for some of us, and then there are others of us that still haven't grown up completely. But that's okay. Jesus watching children play in the marketplace also brings to mind, most of the time, pleasant ideas. He had a particular love for children. And this particular incident that he mentions here about watching children in the marketplace playing some of their games is one of many evidences of Jesus' love and care for children. In Matthew 18, he calls a child, and he uses that child as an example of those who can enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 19, 13 through 15, Jesus commands his disciples, who are trying to keep children away from him, to let them come to him and to be around him. And in Peter's home, he uses a child as an example. Jesus loves children. One of the early songs that we learn when we are growing up as children, if we are in church, is "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." See, most of you are smiling. And I must have stayed on key because nobody went. But Jesus loves children. And it is interesting to sit back and to watch children play. And Jesus did that, and we do that. Although sometimes we don't do it enough. Especially watching young children play with the element of imagination. Sticks can become great stallions, or I guess lightsabers these days. But back when I was growing up, a stick was a great stallion and you rode around in the yard. Wagons become trains. Nothing can be turned into anything, or even everything, as the land of make-believe seems so real in the minds of children. At least if we let them get out and enjoy themselves and play. Little do they know the sentence that hangs over them later. To grow up and live in a real world that is not so pleasant as the make-believe one. And sometimes maybe we wish we could go back to that same kind of imaginary world and live our lives that way too. So what does this passage about children and this saying that we've read about children have to do with adults and adult living? Well, first of all, I think it speaks to the differences in being childlike and being childish. Childlike, through new birth, makes one disposed to being trusting, to being responsible, and to following God's guidance, even in and through others. That's childlike. I will digress for a moment. When we arrived, albeit late, because as you know, when we left the other Thursday, weather wasn't great. In fact, they de-iced the plane twice before we left in Charlotte. So we were late getting there, but the housekeeper had stayed, and evidently somehow in all the conversations, the folks who owned the place we stayed, the condo in which we stayed, knew it was my birthday, and so there was a birthday cake there. And the housekeeper, Yvonne, said, "Oh, it is your birthday." And I said, "Yes, 55. She said, "Oh, bless you." She said, "I will sing to you." And she sang, "Happy birthday to you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Happy birthday to you." And that was her birthday wish. Nothing that was trying to win me over. That was simply her birthday wish. May the Lord bless you. And she talked about God regularly at other times during the week. We went out and met the security guard at the gate the next morning, drinking our coffee. And the daytime security guard, Alfonso, as we walked up, he came out apologizing for not being out there when we walked up. He said, "Oh, no, no, we're going to the beach." That was about 5 minutes after seven. So we're going down to the beach to see the water and the sunrise and that kind of thing. And he said, "Well, I was just sitting in here reading my Bible. I have to get strong in the Lord for every day, or I cannot make it." Now, none of these folks, until the end of the week, had a clue what my vocation is. So it's not like they said, "Oh, we got a preacher here." Their childlike faith was something that was very important, not only to them, but something important enough to share with someone else. That new birth in a place, Yvonne, the housekeeper, has to take two buses and a cab to her home from the condo. And a cab and two buses to get back to the condo every day. It costs her $240 Jamaican round trip every day. She makes about 1,600 Jamaican dollars a day. So, pretty good chunk. And yet, that hope that she has is in God. That childlike, not childish, but childlike trust and following. Paul wrote of this in 1 Corinthians 13 when he said, "There's a child, he spoke, thought, and acted like a child. But when he became an adult, he gave up childish ways." Yet Jesus found many in his generation not to be childlike, but to be childish. Not living as adults, but living as precocious children. When faced with responsibility, their response was, "Not it, not it." When facing an opportunity for honor, or a chance of eminence and importance, the attitude was, "Me first." The attitude, "If we're not going to play my way, I'll take my marbles and go home," was a prevalent, and in some cases, even today among adults, is a prevalent, childish way, not childlike. Among those of his generation who acted this way were Pharisees and scribes, sometimes referred to as the lawyers. Both groups were very guilty of saying, "Do as I say, but not as I do." In fact, if you remember Jesus' tirade in the Gospel of Matthew, at one point he says, "Do what the scribes and the Pharisees say, but not what they do, for they are hypocrites. And then he went through this whole list of things and ways, but they were not really serving God. They were like children in the marketplace who couldn't agree on the game or how to play it. Some played wedding, some played funeral, and neither could agree with the other. And each would point to the other and say, "Well, we were playing wedding and we fluted and we played the music and you wouldn't dance with us." And the other said, "Well, we're playing funeral and we were weeping and you wouldn't cry with us, you laughed." Childish, not childlike. Their views of the ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus were also somewhat skewed, and not without a little bit of humor. They saw John's ministry more like a funeral. After all, he was somewhat austere. He was a Nazarite, withdrawn from ordinary society, living in the wilderness, wearing rough clothes, eating grasshoppers, locusts, and preaching a somber message of judgment and repentance as the Messiah is coming. Jesus' ministry was more like the wedding feast. He never turned down an invitation to eat dinner. So you see, preachers are just following Jesus' example. He emphasized joy, life together, abundant living, and the religious leaders wouldn't hear of or stand for either one of them. They pointed fingers at John and criticized him. They pointed fingers at Jesus and criticized him. We also see that you can't please everyone. And while this is not the main point, it is worth noting that John the Baptist couldn't. He was an ascetic that preached about sin, judgment, repentance. And the leader said, "Oh, he's got a demon and he's way too strict." Jesus couldn't please them. He seemed too much at home with common people, especially those that we would see as the unchurched. He didn't observe all the laws for food, for purification, for fasting. He was a friend to tax collectors and other sinners, preaching on God's love and forgiveness, and even inviting those unchurched folks into God's fold. The religionists of his day condemned him as a winebibber and a glutton. And I guess in some ways, probably not the way they meant it, but in putting up with them, he was a glutton for punishment because he continued to go and continued to go and continued to go. Like spoiled children, they wouldn't play funeral and weep or wedding and laugh and dance, not knowing what they really wanted or, more importantly, what they really needed. They continued to live childish lives, not childlike lives of following and responsibility and trust. It is like the speech that was given by a college senior class president who said, "You can't please everyone. Half will call you a fool and the other half will praise you. So go out and live your lives to the very best that you can." One of the most sure ways to sabotage life is to try and live it based on childish principles of popularity. Additionally, here we find that life is not child's play. One purpose of what Jesus says here is to challenge each generation to get out of the make-believe world into the real world. When truth is presented and people say, "I don't like the teacher, the preacher, etc. Or, "I don't like the church, there are too many hypocrites, too many cliques, people aren't friendly," or whatever excuse they use. Is that not really child's play? If the parents don't take the lead and come with their children to church, is that not really child's play rather than adult living? If one claims to be a Christian but doesn't think enough to align with the church, does that say Christianity is child's play? Perhaps for those folks, it is. If one is merely content with having their name on the roll but doesn't commit to participating regularly, is that not child's play? It's sometimes tragic when one remains a child physically, but even more so when one remains a child spiritually. It's very tragic when an adult remains a child spiritually. That is childish, not childlike, in their trust. Dodging the responsibility of being Christ's follower. Not just saved by Christ, but Christ's follower. Dwight L. Moody, and some of you will know that name, but the great preacher and revivalist of many eons ago, even before I was born. Dwight L. Moody was reporting to a friend the results of one of his revival meetings. As they were talking, he said, there were 2.5 conversions. His friend looked at him and said, oh, 2 adults and 1 child. Moody said, nope, 2 children and 1 adult. See, the children gave their whole lives, the adult only gave half. Jesus challenged everyone to be childlike and have a childlike trust in God and to follow as a child follows the parent's leading, to follow Christ's leading in loving care, in forgiveness, in serious study of Scripture, and in living in such a way as to help change the real world. Not to live in a make-believe world, but to help change the real world into a better world. His closing statement here is meant to show that the wisdom of his way will be judged by what it produces. Adult followers, living as he lived, and as he continues to live within them, sharing grace with a world in need of graciousness, showing childlike faith and following, becoming adults in living. Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children, admitting that sometimes we live our lives more childishly than we do childlike. Sometimes we live more childishly than we do adult-like. Give us new eyes to see where we need to change, where we need to grow up, where we need to show your grace and graciousness to a world that is far too often childish, so that together we may be found faithful, not playing wedding alone or funeral alone, but rather playing together in your love and in your life, so that the world is not one of make-believe, but the real world is one which more closely resembles your kingdom. As we hear that challenge, we ask for the strength and for the grace to meet it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 435, God of Grace and God of Glory. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make a decision for Christ or to become a part of this fellowship or to recommit ourselves. To recommit ourselves to living childlike lives in faith and following. Hymn number 435, God of Grace and God of Glory.